الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون وقال تعالى وتزودوا فإن خير الزاد التقوى واتقون يا أولي الألباب وقال تعالى لن ينال الله لحومها ولا دماؤها ولكن يناله التقوى منكم وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إن لربكم في أيام دهركم نفحات فتعرضوا لها أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Respected elders and brothers in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We firstly express our thanks and shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His continuous favors and bounties upon us. The food that we eat, the water that we drink, the shelter above our heads, the means of transportation that we utilize, the health that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, the wealth that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. All these are favors and ni'mat from His side for which we need to continue thanking Him. The greatest, the most precious and the most valuable of all these favors, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us iman, made us believers in the kareema la ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We find generally when we speak about the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon us, then generally our minds go to the material things of this dunya, the food that we eat, the houses that we live in, the means of transportation that we utilize, the cars that we drive, and the wealth that we own. Generally our minds go to those types of bounties. And very rarely we concentrate or we appreciate the spiritual bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon us. We find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala out of His grace and mercy, if we only had to realize the extent of the spiritual bounties that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has showered us with and He continues to shower us with, we will spend our days and nights in shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Of course, the greatest spiritual bounty that He gave us, He made us Muslims. For a person to be saved from the fire of Jahannam and to secure his entry into Jannah, a person has to have this iman in his heart. And this is something Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, due to no good deed from our side, due to not us deserving it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala purely out of His grace and mercy firstly granted us this iman. And this is our ticket, of course, if we lead our lives according to this iman, be practicing Muslims, this is our ticket to Jannah, inshallah. Besides that, respected brothers and elders, we find that throughout our lives, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues to shower us with spiritual bounties. And one of these great bounties that He gave us was this month of Ramadan that we just recently came out of. We know this month of Ramadan, when it comes with its mercy, it comes with its forgiveness from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It comes with its barakat. And it comes with many, many opportunities and means for us to gain closeness to our Creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, something that we cannot do without, whether we realize it or not, or whether we acknowledge it or not. We cannot do without the closeness to our Creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the month of Ramadan. And the month of Ramadan, we know the first 10, second 10 and last 10 days, the ulama were explaining to us about this. And perhaps the most important point in the month of Ramadan that we were, or the most important quality that we were supposed to build in the month of Ramadan, especially through this fasting, was this quality of taqwa. As ulama told us before the month of Ramadan, during the month of Ramadan, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the ayat of the Quran that, O you who believe, fasting was made compulsory upon you as it was made compulsory upon those before you so that you may develop this quality of taqwa. This quality of taqwa is the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to protect ourselves from all those things that is of detriment to our iman and our Islam. That is what taqwa is. And this is the quality that we were supposed to bring about in the month of Ramadan. Now we find when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about taqwa, then it is something common that features in different parts of the Quran. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about different aspects, we know now that we are in the months of Hajj, Shawwal, Dhulqa'dah, Dhulhijjah. And very soon some of our brothers and friends will be departing for Hajj. Also when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the months of Hajj, when He speaks about Hajj, undertaking the journey of Hajj, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Al-Hajju ashhurum ma'lumat. The Hajj are in certain these months which are known. فَمَنْ فَرَضَ فِيهِنَّ الْحَجَّ فَلَا رَفَثَ وَلَا فُسُوقَ وَلَا جِدَالَ فِي الْحَجِّ. Thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, وَتَزَوَّدُوا فَإِنَّ خَيْرَ الزَّادِ التَّقْوَى. Once again Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about taqwa. When a person is preparing his part course or is preparing for the journey, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions there, فَإِنَّ خَيْرَ الزَّادِ التَّقْوَى. The best provision that you can take for the journey, once again, is this quality of taqwa. This quality of taqwa is something that we have to keep on reminding ourselves about throughout our life. It is not only confined to the month of Ramadan. It is not only confined to the big nights. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned, He continues to give us these spiritual opportunities. And it is left to us to take advantage of this or discard this. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about this taqwa also when it comes to the time of Hajj. Then of course we know those of us that are not going for Hajj, it will be compulsory upon us to carry out this act of udhiyah or qurbani. Regarding that as well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He speaks about it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, لَيَّنَالَ اللَّهَ لُحُومُهَا وَلَا دِمَاؤُهَا. When you slaughter this animal, the meat doesn't reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The blood does not reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَكِي يَنَالُهُ التَّقْوَى مِنْكُمْ. But what reaches Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala considers is that taqwa, that His consciousness is in your heart, that purity of intention. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants from us. And as mentioned, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues to give us opportunities. This month of Ramadan left us. We are in the months of Hajj. Very soon we will be entering the month of Dhul-Hijjah. Of course, after the coming month of Dhul-Qa'dah. And the first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah are extremely virtuous days in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the hadith, Nabi Sallam has mentioned that مَا مِنْ أَيَّامٍ الْعَمَلُ الصَّالِحُ حَبُّ إِلَى اللَّهِ مِنْ هَذِي الْأَيَّامِ. There is no other days in the year in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves good deeds more than these first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah. So once again, another opportunity for us to gain that closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to get that consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because this is something that we cannot do without. And we find in a hadith, a very beautiful hadith, Nabi Sallam has mentioned that إِنَّ لِرَبِّكُمْ فِي أَيَّامِ دَهْرِكُمْ نَفَحَاتِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants us in the days of our lives very beneficial wins or very beneficial opportunities that a mu'min will get. فَتَعَرَّضُوا لَهَا. You need to present yourself and you need to take full advantage of these opportunities. So what are these opportunities? Of course, the Mubarak days, the Mubarak months when they come, the month of Ramadan, then as mentioned, the days of Hajj are here, then the first 10 days of the Hijjah will come. And according to some riwayat, يَعْدِلُ الصِّيَامُ كُلِّ يَوْمٍ فِيهَا صِيَامَ سَنَةً. According to some riwayat, upon which there has been some discussion, but according to one riwayat, if a person has to fast every day during those first 9 days of Dhul-Hijjah, the person will get the reward of fasting an entire year. وَيَعْدِلُ قِيَامُ كُلِّ لَيْلَةٍ فِيهَا قِيَامَ لَيْلَةَ الْقَدْرِ. And if a person has to stand up for ibadat during those first 10 nights of Dhul-Hijjah, the person will get the reward of Laylatul Qadr. This has been mentioned in a hadith. So respected brothers and elders, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues to give us these opportunities. So one is those Mubarak days and nights that a person can take advantage of, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy comes down in downpours or in excess. And thereafter we find, besides the Mubarak days and nights, the other opportunities that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may give us is the majalis of dhikr, where the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is taking place. A person should join that majlis of dhikr, because where the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is made, that is definitely an opportunity where he will get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the majalis of dhikr, together with that, the company of the pious ulama. The company of the pious ulama is perhaps is one of the most important ways and means that a person can reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the Quran, يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وكونوا مع الصادقين. Oh, you who believe, fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Once again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about his fear. Fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and be with the truthful ones. Be with the pious ones. So besides those Mubarak days and nights that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues to give us, if we find ourselves not in any Mubarak day and night, then we can ensure that we attend the majalis of the pious. And we know we are very extremely fortunate in our town that there are many ulama, pious ulama, that have regular majalis on a weekly basis. So it is not difficult for us to attend the majalis of these ulama. And this will be a means of us definitely getting closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the consciousness must be there. The consciousness must be there. It should not be such that once the days of Ramadan are gone and we find ourselves back to our normal daily life and tartib, we forget about that closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No, that should not be the case. That is not what taqwa is. Taqwa is constant consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To be constantly aware, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching me. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants me to lead my life in a certain manner. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants me to carry out certain commands of His. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants me to abstain from certain prohibitions and certain evils. That is what taqwa is. So that is not confined to those special days and nights, but that a person has to lead his life according to for the entire year, for his entire life. So what will assist us in this is for us to attend the majalis of the pious. So we mentioned some of those beneficial opportunities that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us. He gives us and He continues to give us those Mubarak days and nights, the month of Ramadan, the first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah, the majalis of dhikr, the company of the pious, and of course, respected brothers and elders, if a person is looking for a Mubarak time, a time in which his du'as will be accepted, then he does not even have to wait for the month of Ramadan. He does not even have to wait for the first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah. Every single morning at the time of Tahajjud, if a person wakes up and he cries in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and a person can only realize this and he can only experience this if he does it. No matter how much he speaks about it or how much he thinks about it, the only time he'll experience that closeness is when he does it himself. When a person wakes up at the time of Tahajjud and he makes his wudu and he performs those rakats of Tahajjud salah, and he makes sajda to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he cries out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his needs, and he cries out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to alleviate his difficulties, then he'll feel that closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is also a great spiritual opportunity that every single one of us can enjoy every day. And we know our beloved Shaykh Hazrat Ma'inus Patel Sahib Rahmatullah Ali used to always advise us and he used to recite that very beautiful poetry. Apne malik se utkar ke faryad kar, dil ko sajde mein ro ro ko abad kar. That a person must wake up and he must cry in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala during those last hours of the night and those early hours of the morning before Fajr Salah, Tahajjud Salah. That is when a person will see the benefit. That is one of the greatest means of a person getting closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So respected brothers and elders, as mentioned, these opportunities that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us to get close to Him, and the common theme as mentioned is this quality of taqwa. A person has to develop this taqwa. A person has to try and ensure that he gets closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we know, respected brothers and elders, no one has to tell us the current condition of our ummah. The current condition of our ummah, the difficulties that our brothers are undergoing in different parts of the world, especially our brothers in Palestine and Gaza. And there has never been a situation where we need the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala perhaps the most than now. The ummah is really in need of the assistance and the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And of course our ulama have advised us certain means and certain ways that we can, or certain avenues that we can adopt to assist our brothers in that part of the world, to assist in trying to alleviate the genocide. Of course, on a daily basis, we should be occupied in dua for them. Our fikr should be with them, our worry should be with them. As Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has mentioned in the hadith, that al-mu'minuna ka jasadin wahida, the believers are like one, ka jasadin wahida, the believers are like one body. In ishtaka aynuhu ishtaka kullu. If a person has a pain in his eye, it will affect the entire body. Wa in ishtaka ra'suhu ishtaka kullu. If a person has a severe headache, it will affect the functionality of his entire body.
So on a daily basis, our fikr should be with them, our du'as should be with them. That is one avenue that we can adopt to try and get the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to alleviate their suffering. Then of course financially we try and assist them. Then together with that, we have been advised that we should try and boycott those entities and those companies that assist in funding the genocide. And there are other means and ways that Allah ulama have advised us according to Sharia. But we find that whatever means and ways we adopt, of course, those means and ways will only be effective if we are close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If the ummah is spiritually strong, if the ummah is spiritually weak, what effect will those ways and means and those efforts have if we try and alleviate the suffering of our brothers? So respected brothers and elders, if we are closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if we have these qualities that we are supposed to have, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبُ. He who adopts sincerely the quality of taqwa, he fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will find a way out for him from his difficulty. وَيَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant him sustenance from where he does not even fathom. And further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, إِن تَنْصُرُ اللَّهَ يَنْصُرْكُمْ. If you assist the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you assist the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will in turn assist you. So respected brothers and elders, these qualities that we are supposed to bring about within us, this quality of taqwa. And we find when ulama speak about the definition of taqwa, then the definition given by ulama of taqwa is imtithalu awamirillah wajtinabun nawahi. That we obey every single command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we abstain from every single prohibition of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded me to do as a Muslim, I obey that command. Whether it is as far as performance of my salah is concerned, whether it is as far as the giving of zakah, as far as the giving of my zakat is concerned, whether it is as far as going for hajj is concerned, if it is compulsory on me, whether it is as far as whatever other commands Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, and together with that also, whatever prohibitions Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made upon us, whatever is haram for us to look at, whatever is haram for us to consume, whatever it is haram for us to say, whatever it is haram for us to hear, all these things should be abstained from if a person has this quality of taqwa. And we find, respected brothers and elders, a very important aspect regarding this quality of taqwa is for a person to have the correct social etiquettes. A person has to have his character in order. It is no use a person being outwardly very pious and he performs his 5 daily salah and he is in the masjid in the first saf and he goes for umrah every year and he goes for hajj as often as he can and he's giving generously. But on the other hand, we find that his character is extremely rotten. And people do not like him because he has bad character, he has a bad personality. Then that person is not one of the muttaqeen. That person is not one of the pious. And we find very importantly, one of the important aspects regarding taqwa and us ensuring that we have correct social habits, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in an ayat of the Quran, and we find in Surah Hujurat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains very important aspects regarding the social etiquettes of people. We should abstain from making ghibat of one another. We should abstain from unnecessary having suspicion regarding one another. And in our ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the importance of verifying something that you hear regarding someone. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِنْ جَاءَكُمْ فَاسِقٌ مِنَبَئٍ فَتَبَيَّنُوا أَنْ تُصِيبُوا قَوْمًا بِجَهَالَةٍ فَتُصْبِحُوا عَلَى مَا فَعَلْتُمْ نَادِمِينَ. Oh, you who believe, if a sinner or if someone has to come and give you some information regarding something, فَتَبَيَّنُوا, you need to verify that information first. If you hear something bad about someone or regarding someone, then you cannot take it for granted. And especially we know in this age of social media, then one message that comes through, perhaps regarding someone, if a person has to forward that message as is, then that is wrong for the person. And if a person has to repeat what he heard regarding someone, that is extremely wrong. In a hadith, Nabi SAW has mentioned, كَفَى بِالْمَرْءِ كَذِبًا أَن يُحَدِّثَ بِكُلِّ مَا سَمِعَ. It is sufficient for a person to be called a sinner if this person has to repeat everything that he hears. Someone came and gave him some information, he repeated it to someone else. And he does not worry about what is being said. That person, Nabi Sallallahu mentioned, that person will definitely become a liar because he does not take out the trouble to verify what he has heard about someone. So this is very important etiquette that a person should ensure that he verifies information that he hears about anyone. And we find this ayat, it has been mentioned by Mufassirin that it was revealed in regards to an incident in the time of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. There was a person by the name of Harith ibn Dhirar, who was the chief of the Banu Mustalif tribe. And he had come to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and he accepted Islam. And he told Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, O Nabi of Allah, I am accepting Islam, I am going to go back to my tribe, make sure that they are Muslim, and I am going to start collecting the zakat from the rich, those that are supposed to give zakat, I am going to start collecting the zakat. You can send your collector on a certain day or time, we will be ready, we will give them the zakat. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did as he was promised. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had sent a certain person on a certain day to that tribe, a person by the name of Walid ibn Uqba. Now we find that when this person came to the outskirts of the town of that tribe, so this person had some old history with this tribe. The Sahabi, he had some old history with this tribe where he was the enemy in the past. So now when he came to the outskirts of this town, now these people, alhamdulillah, they accepted Iman, they were sincere Muslimin, they all had come out to welcome him. They all had come out of the town to welcome him. Now this person, because he had something in his mind, he had some doubt in his mind about them. So when he arrived there, he saw this whole group of people coming. He thought they're coming to kill him. He thought they're coming to kill him. So immediately he did a U-turn and he went back to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and told Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, O Nabi of Allah, you know what, I became very afraid. I suspect that these people, because of that old history, that old beef that I had with them, they wanted to kill me. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did not take what he said on face value. Rather, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had sent that great Sahabi Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu with a contingent of people, with a group of people to that tribe, and Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu, he camped outside on the outskirts of the town, and he had sent a few people to see what was the condition of this tribe. So there's one or two people, the Sahaba, they went and they saw and they realized that these people are Muslims. They are performing salah, they are giving charity. So the information came back to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that these people are actually Muslims. It was a misunderstanding. So for that reason we find that this ayat was revealed. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِن جَاءَكُمْ فَاسِقٌ مِّن نَبَئٍ فَتَبَيَّنُوا أَن تُصِيبُوا قَوْمًا بِجَهَالَةٍ فَتُصْبِحُوا عَلَى مَا فَعَلْتُمْ نَادِمِينَ. That if any sinner has to come to you and give you some information, then you need to verify it. فَتَبَيَّنُوا. Otherwise, أَن تُصِيبُوا قَوْمًا بِجَهَالَةٍ. Because of your error, if you have to repeat without verification, then you can cause some musibat, you can cause some difficulty or calamity to come upon the people because of you not verifying it. So this very important quality, respected brothers and elders, we need to keep in mind, especially in this age of social media. And we find that Mulla Ali Qari Rahmatullah Ali, one of the great mufassirin of the past, he mentioned a really ajeeb incident that the people of the past were so careful regarding speaking about the ill of others. It is mentioned that one pious person, he came to one of his friends or his confidants, and he said to him that, you know what, this wife of mine, she's giving me a lot of trouble, I need to give her talaq. So he was coming. So this person said to him, okay, what's the reason you need to give her talaq? So imagine this pious person was so strict upon this. He said, you know what, I need to give her talaq, but why must I expose to you the reason? Why must I expose to you the fault of my wife? So even though he needed to give a talaq for a legitimate reason, he was not prepared to expose that fault of his wife who actually is giving him so much of trouble. And after we find, after he had already given her talaq, then the person asked him again, okay, now what was the reason that you gave her talaq? So he replied to him that, you know what, at that time she was my wife, I couldn't expose her faults. Now she is a stranger to me. How can I expose the faults of someone who's a stranger to me? So this, respected brothers and elders, was the level of Iman and was the level of taqwa that our pious predecessors of the past had. And we find, just to end, this quality of taqwa, respected brothers and elders, if a person has to keep it within him, if a person has to develop it, then that is the time when he will find himself closest to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And we know that our lives are supposed to be in line with the life of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the sunnah of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. We find that great Sahabi Mu'adh radiallahu anhu, when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was dispatching him to Yemen, and it was towards the end of the life of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and we can imagine the scene that Mu'adh radiallahu anhu, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was the most beloved of creation to him, and Mu'adh radiallahu anhu was on the animal, and he was riding on the animal, and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was walking next to him on the ground, and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was giving him some advices, And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said to him that, "Oh Muaz, next year if you come back here to Medina, you won't find me alive here. You won't find me alive." Now you can imagine the emotion that he was going through at that time. Of course, he started to tear, he started to cry. He told Muaz, "Oh Muaz, if you have to come back next year, you won't find me, you'll find my qabr here." And thereafter he gave him certain advices, and one of the most profound things that he told him was that, "Even though you may be far away from me, but أولى الناس بي المتقون أولى الناس بي المتقون من كانوا وحيث كانوا." Those that can consider themselves the closest to me are those that have taqwa. Are those that have taqwa. من كانوا وحيث كانوا. Whoever they are, wherever they are, if they have taqwa, then they can consider themselves as being close to me, the Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq to appreciate all the spiritual bounties that He grants us and to take full advantage of these bounties. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.